Well, good evening. I'm Jack. Very warm welcome. Let me add my welcome to David. And let me say, I am really enjoying my first ever Jazz Carols. Are you guys? I thought I was firmly traditional, but I actually think I might have been swayed tonight. So should we give the musicians a clap? I just think they've been amazing. Well, let me start and say whether you know what these people coming up on the screen have in common. Do you know what these people on the screen have in common? Well, let me tell you, at various points this year, these people have been cancelled. They've been cancelled. Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, Harvey Weinstein, and even the Dalai Lama at one point this year was cancelled for a week or two. And if you're wondering, what is cancelling? Cancelling is a kind of modern social media-based boycott. It's basically the equivalent of just like hitting mute on your TV remote, but on social media. And I think cancelling is quite a modern thing, but it's just one expression, one symptom of our increasing aversion to authority. I mean, it's not just celebrities in the firing line. Never, I don't think, before have people been so skeptical of political authority. We've seen this week, or in the last couple of weeks, the not him election, or over in the royal family, we've got Prince Andrew almost being kicked out. Over in the US, we've got the ongoing impeachment of Donald Trump. And then over in the Far East, in Hong Kong, we've got riots. Will there be anyone left? I think if it was down to us, we'd just cancel everybody. And we could go on. But it's not just public life that I think we've got this aversion to authority. I think it's in our offices and in our homes. I was just thinking about this the last couple of weeks, and I recently disagreed quite passionately with my boss, and we kind of spoke quite loudly at each other for about 30 minutes, and then at the end we had to just kind of call quits, and my boss turned to me and said, Jack, at the end of the day, I'm your boss, so... And as a kind of narcissistic millennial who's, you know, never been told no to anything, I actually found that really hard to swallow in that moment. But finally, in the home, I think it exists in the home. You know, when you just switch on the Crown, it's 9:30, just sat down on the sofa, and then your housemate pops up, just, oh, it's bin day tomorrow. Oh, it is. Yeah, it's bin day tomorrow. Or the same, you're just climbing into bed, and you're just like, ah. And then you just hear this, oh, you've left the lights on downstairs. You're like, blah. And in those moments, you just want to kind of cancel your housemate. You're just like, duh. In my case, it's a bit awkward because my housemate's my wife. But, you know, these are trivial examples, aren't they, a bit? But they do show we don't like being told what to do, you know, how to think by anyone. It seems we have a deep aversion to authority. So the question I'd really like to explore with you guys tonight is this. What would it take for us to want to come under another person's authority? Like, to whom would we say, you can tell me what to do? You can tell me what's right and wrong. You can tell me what to think, even about like really important things like work or relationships. Is there anyone in the world you can think of that you would want to put that person in that sort of position in your life? Not out of like fear or coercion, but that you would actually want to do it because you think it would be better. And I think even this question is quite alien to us because we live in a generation that prizes freedom above all things. But it is a really interesting question, isn't it? Because what happens if that would be better than total independence? What if that person you put in that place of authority in your life could actually run your life better than you could? That they would make you happier? That they'd give your life more meaning? And in the next 10 minutes, I want to briefly give you the Bible's answer to those questions, which in short is yes. Yes, there is someone who could run our lives better than we can. Yes, he'd make us happier. Yes, he'd give us more meaning. But more than all of that, we actually desperately need his help. And he wouldn't push himself on us. We'd have to willingly come under his authority. And that person is Jesus Christ. So that's a short answer. The slightly longer answer I was going to give in kind of three parts. The first part would be Jesus is God's ultimate authority, born as a baby. So suppose for a minute that it was agreed amongst all 195 countries of the world that what we really need on earth was some sort of ultimate authority, like a king, prime minister, high court judge, commander, head of church, kind of all rolled into one, and they'd just rule over every country, over every man, woman, and child. They'd all fall under his jurisdiction. I mean, could you imagine the hoo-ha in trying to arrange all of that? We can't even arrange an election in this country, but just imagine it. And would they be allowed a Twitter account, for example? I don't know. But what if I told you that position has already been filled by Jesus Christ? I mean, we don't tend to think of Jesus Christ as being God's ultimate authority on earth. Come to think of it, we don't really think Jesus has any authority on earth. And I put that down largely to the Christmas nativity. We had it here this morning in church. I think it's basically been 2,000 years of bad PR for Jesus. They say no PR is bad PR, but if I was his campaign manager, I think we'd do some serious work on his image around this time of year. Because, you know, as we read passages like Luke chapter 2, just read it again with me. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. He will be assigned to you. You will find him as a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And we hear that and we think, it's cute, you know. It's kind of Instagrammable. It's fun. It's just fun of God to give us like you know, that classic school home nativity scenes of Mary dropping Jesus on his head or whatever it is. There we were this morning. It was great. Cute, fun. But if we're honest, like zero impact and bearing on our lives in, you know, 21st century Fulham. For most of us, especially at this time of year, I think it's fair to say Jesus is still kind of a baby in our minds. And if, a bit like the Evian adverts, I don't know if you've seen them, but where he still is kind of like a baby, and so we would find it pretty hard to think of him as God's ultimate authority of the world, same time as being a baby. But please, if you remember one thing tonight, it's this, that Jesus is still alive now. Even though you can't see him, he is alive and kicking. The Bible would say Jesus right now is on God's throne in heaven ruling. And he's never been more alive. He's not Evian baby Jesus. He's not even buried in a tomb in Palestine. In fact, even atheist historians take very seriously the evidence for his life, death, and resurrection. That even he rose back to life 3 days later. As wacky as it sounds, the Bible would say Jesus really did ascend back to heaven, and so right now he's alive. We hear Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, and for many of us, it might as well say Jesus, the head of Gryffindor or something like that. But the Messiah is the Bible's shorthand for God's chosen king, prime minister, high court judge, and head of church, all rolled into one forevermore. And God has promised that one day he will send Jesus again, this time not as a baby, this time, the next time we see Jesus, there'll be no missing his power and his authority. So this Christmas, don't confuse God's humility in sending his son as a baby. Don't confuse that for weakness or somehow God giving up his authority. When we hear today in the town of David a Savior has been born, He is the Messiah, the Lord. Make no mistake, God gave his full power and authority to that baby. So that's our first point. Jesus is God's ultimate authority, born as a baby. And the second part is Jesus, God's ultimate authority, we try and cancel. So we think cancelling, that's got quite a modern thing on social media, but actually it's an ancient practice. And we saw this when King Herod heard from the visiting wise men that a new king had been born on his patch. And so Herod sent the wise men off to find out about this, like where is it born? Report back, I want to know, pretending to want to meet him. Fortunately, the wise men were actually wise men, and they didn't listen to Herod. But then we read some really disturbing sentences from Matthew's gospel. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the magi, the wise men, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he'd learned from the magi. Now, this is a part of the nativity we don't often see acted out. This is cancelling the ancient world. This is like genocide. But what does it show? To us, Jesus' authority, it doesn't seem that real, maybe. But it obviously was for Herod. He took it really seriously. He wasn't threatened by Jesus' cuteness as a baby, or maybe his wisdom that he was going to grow up into a really wise teacher. He was threatened by Jesus' authority, and he tried to cancel him. And that is the story of Jesus' life, that often people who correctly understood his claim to be Messiah, to be God on earth, they either fall down and worship him, like the wise men, or try and cancel him, like Herod. And the latter of those, the cancelling, is the reason why, in the end, he was killed. And when you think about it, there are only kind of two rational responses to Jesus' claim to be Messiah. Either we celebrate him as king, or we cancel him. And now, in Fulham, we might try and squeeze in a third response, which is a kind of really polite cancelling. Just ignore him. And do you know what? That is quite easy to do in the sense that you can't see him, and you can avoid people like me who invite you to carol services. But let me ask, as an adult, what is your immediate reaction to Jesus' claim to be God on earth? Do we want to celebrate him as our king, crown him, and say to Jesus, you know what, Jesus, you're God. Of course you can tell me how to run my life. You can tell me what's right and wrong. Or would we prefer to cancel him out of our lives? Just hit the mute button. And as I said, we can do that really politely, and it's quite easy. But nonetheless, we cancel him. May I suggest, if we're honest here tonight, for a lot of us, our instinctive reaction would be just to cancel him. So I'll recap so far. Jesus is God's ultimate authority, born as a baby. Jesus, God's ultimate authority, we try and cancel. And then finally tonight, Jesus, God's ultimate authority, we need. One of the big shocks for me, anyway, in 2019, was Kanye West releasing an album called Jesus is King. And now he's calling himself a born-again Christian. And this was a shock for a number of reasons. Firstly, in 2013... Kanye compared himself to Jesus. Actually, on one of his tracks, he released an album. On one of his tracks, it was called I Am God. So it was also a shock, humanly speaking, because Kanye has kind of everything, you know? He's married to Kim. He's got a beautiful family. He's got fame. He's got fortune. So why would Kanye go from canceling Jesus to celebrating Jesus as king? Even now, he refuses to play his old music, and he's touring around America doing Sunday church services. I mean, it would be quite amazing if he came here. I'm not sure how it would work, but He's even he's visited prisons and done services there. And on an American chat show, a guy called Jimmy Kimmel, asked Kanye, "So, would you consider yourself now to be a Christian music artist?" Kanye replied, "I'm just a Christian everything." And I was like, "Wow, you know, guys, this could be a PR stunt. You know, it could be a phase." And Kanye has had a lot of phases. But it could be that he's realized he really does need Jesus. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. It turns out Jesus is double-hatting. He's not just the Messiah, God's ultimate authority on earth. He's also God's Savior of the world. Saving us from what, we might ask? Well, the Bible would say our biggest problem is not war or disease. It's not even how badly we're treating this planet or each other. Our biggest problem is how we're treating God himself. It might feel really easy to kind of politely cancel Jesus, you know, just hit the mute button. Cut him dead. But just because something feels easy doesn't mean it's not a big deal. You know, like if my boss every morning walked in and said hello to me and I just kind of blanked him, that'd be pretty easy to do. But it's going to have consequences for my relationship with my boss and probably my career as well. Just because something feels easy doesn't mean it's a big deal. And if we repeatedly and systematically ignore God, that is a big deal. And the Bible says, really plainly, if we cancel Jesus out our lives, God is personally offended by that. As you can imagine, to personally offend the God of the universe has some pretty serious consequences on Judgment Day. And as Savior, Jesus says, if we're willing to accept his help, I will deal with those consequences. Which puts Jesus in a pretty interesting position, because he's come to save the very people who want to cancel him. He's both the Savior of the world and the ruler of the world. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Well, we began this evening thinking about our aversion to authority, and we don't really like being told what to do by anyone. But Jesus, he's very different to every other authority on earth we want to cancel. Even though Jesus is the most important man in the world, he uses that authority to help us, the very people who want to cancel him. Whatever we think of Kanye, it does take humility, doesn't it, to admit you're wrong, to go from cancelling Jesus to trusting Jesus, and then so overtly, publicly celebrate him as king. Let me ask you tonight, how will you respond to Jesus this Christmas? Will you cancel him politely and carry on as before? Or this Christmas, maybe for the first time, will you take the opportunity to celebrate Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior?